Hello and welcome to another awesome edition of the Mac Show on Bridge Tech Network. Yes, we're back. Another week has passed. A lot has happened since then. I'm your interim host because the interim host is actually out today. So I'm Patrice. I think you know me. And as always, I have a awesome star-filled, whatever, hungry also panel with me. And speaking of hungry, you mentioned it in the like pre-show. Chuck, how are you doing?
I'm good, Patrice, but I have a question for you. How many interim hosts can fit on the head of a pin? Because it seems like we have this iteration going.
I think we can do a couple more, like at least 10, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Good to know.
Oh.
Good to know.
I mean,
Good
I
to see
think
you.
after 10, you start like losing track of how many interims there
Yeah.
were.
It's good to see you. Thanks for having us.
It was like always a pleasure to have you with us. And also a pleasure to have with us is Dave Ginsberg. How are you doing,
Hi.
buddy?
I'm
Hi.
doing great, Patrice. Thanks for leading us up this week. We miss you, Jeff. And but Patrice, you're just as great. It's
I'm
Friday.
not
It's
Jeff.
yeah, you're no
But that's
Jeff.
why
That's
I'm
fine.
only the interim, so it's all fine.
Yeah, that's right. I mean,
Yeah,
we can make you blonder. Well,
it's
he's
true.
a redhead, though.
Yeah, well, I'm a redhead too, so
That's right. You're
that
both
works.
reds.
That
That's
works.
right.
That works.
Yeah, fighting a little bit of a cold here, but hanging in there and everybody's returning to the office next week at work, so it's going to be interesting to see people I haven't seen in a few years. So
Wow,
there's
okay.
that, and they mandated everybody to come back, so it's going to be fun. But no, doing good. Glad to
What
be
was the
here, and
opposite of fun again? Ah,
yeah,
returning to the
exactly.
office. Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. But good to be here. Thanks.
Thank you. And also working from his home office is Mr. Ben Rafig. How are you doing?
I am doing good. I also have the fall crud.
Mm.
But ready for a
That's no
little bit of
good.
mac and cheese after this.
We talked about that in the pre-show. Now I want mac and cheese.
Yeah. Chuck will literally be running to make something during the show.
Yeah, they keep doing this to me. There's no question about it. It's
Yes.
I think I'll get a salad and a mac and cheese at Chick-fil-A. Yeah,
Yeah. We're just gonna hear like a ring during the show, and it'll be DoorDash.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think of that. DoorDash, that's even
Damn
better.
it, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I don't have to even go out.
Exactly. You don't even have to open a package.
Excuse me, guys. I'll be right with you.
I think we have a show title.
Yes, we do.
All right. As we all know, something happened this week. There was a, well, it was kind of surprise Apple event on Monday night. Well, really late at night for me, Monday evening for the like most of the US. And as is tradition, we're going to talk about a little bit what happened, but I think most people have already heard mostly what happened. I mean, it's been in the news and everything, so I think we don't have to go too deep into that. But what we should definitely go very deep into is our predictions, our keynote poker. So exactly. It's been a really fun ride that this keynote poker. Actually, we're still mostly wrong, to be honest. But there were
Very
like
much so.
couple of good ones in there. Just a reminder, the rules were like there's two rounds, everybody introduces prediction, and then we bet from -5 points to +5 points. And then, yeah, you either win or lose that prediction, and you either get the points or lose the points, depending on what happened. So I used the trusty Google Sheet for that and tallied up the results. But let's go through them first. So there was a prediction from someone named Ben. Who was really, really good. It was his birthday, so I think that helped. You
Oh,
said the M.
Saturday.
Well, okay, I was pre.
Close
You're
enough.
pre. Well, it's close enough. Like I would say, let's start the birthday early. Like it starts with a Mac show, right? That's how it works, right?
Yes.
So,
I like it. I like it.
we should extend that to, like, Mac Show and Big Show and all the week, basically. So you said the M3, M3 Pro, and M3 Max will be announced, and you were spot on. And I think Chuck, Jeff, and me were not thinking we would get the Pro and the Pro Max, from what I remember, or Pro and Max this way. And I was confusing with the iPhone Pro Max and all that. So yeah, we lost some points on that one. Dave and Ben were correct about it. So good
Thank
job,
Mark Gurman.
Yeah, well, yes.
At least I got some points.
Yeah, you got some points. Dave, you the next one you unfortunately didn't get because you said the iPad Pro M3 will be announced and we got nothing, zip, and the iPad at all. So I think it's coming
next
year.
Take it right back.
Next year. So fortunately for you, both Jeff and I agreed with you. So Chuck and Ben were correct. They thought it wouldn't happen and it didn't happen. So they got some points. We lost some points.
Yep.
Chuck, you were correct. Refreshed iMac. And it looks the same. So yes, you got that point. It's just a spec, just in air quotes, a spec bump, but a nice one. Unfortunately for you, you believed in your own prediction less than we did, so we actually made a point more than you did. So funny how that goes. Yeah, exactly. Funny how that works.
Conservative helps and hurts at times.
Yeah, in this case it hurt by one point, so not too bad. Jeff thought there would be an Apple TV refresh with a spec bump to perform as gaming console. We didn't even hear anything about the Apple TV at all. So yeah, all of us lost points, but check on this one, you actually lost less points than us. So little bit.
Turned out our predictions. I kind of nudged that over because I saw that there was a 4 to 6 week out shipping. Mm-hmm. And guess what? The next day I looked at the orders I placed and they shipped.
How did that happen? Yeah, I was completely wrong with my prediction. I mean, it was completely off the beaten path, but I thought it would be fun. I said the Apple Car project would be announced. Yeah, we didn't get any of that. I think Jeff was the only one who agreed with me, so everybody else got points on this one.
I knew Jeff's gonna lose this one.
Yeah, we'll see about that. TSO host got 5 points, so hey.
Yeah. Yeah. TSO host wins.
They exactly. Always get 5 points.
TSO host always gets 5 points, so that works. Round two was also pretty good. Ben, you said AAA gaming will play a role, and I gave you that point because there wasn't anything very special about like gaming, but they showed, what was it, Baldur's Gate, I think?
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, that's it. Yeah, and that's
that is why I said it very vaguely on purpose. Mm.
Yeah, but it worked, and even mm-hmm. I recognized that was a AAA game, so I was like, yeah, okay, that works. So you got that one. Well, unfortunately for you, all of us kind of agreed. Dave and Chuck a little bit less, and me as well, like by 1 point. But yeah, you got some points there. You made up some ground. Dave, update to the Magic Mouse, the keyboard, and the trackpad. Yeah, no, unfortunately, that one baffled me, to be honest. I don't know what happened.
Everybody else in the world.
I was like, what happened? Annoyed.
Yeah,
they have so much stock that they have to sell it first.
Yeah,
that's honestly the only thing I can think of is that they have an excessive amount of stock of the Lightning products.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that seems it.
Yeah. And it's a product they can at any point just like drop a press release and say, hey, by the way, the exact same thing that you could buy with Lightning, now you can buy with USB-C because it's all what's going to happen anyway. I don't think they're going to change mm-hmm. anything. Just switch out the port, right?
Yeah.
So they can do that anytime they want, like sell off the stock and then switch over. So who cares? I mean, the cable comes with it and it comes with a USB-C to Lightning cable. So big deal. Mm-hmm. They have till next year to do it. Like the EU is going to mandate it, but next year. So all good. Next one. Yeah, on this one, we all kind of agreed with. We all kind of agreed with Dave, and we all kind of lost, except for Chuck, who had only 4 points bet on it, so you won a point there. Well, or lost one less point than us, I should say. So yeah, sometimes that works. Chuck, you said there would be a M3 line processor in the Mac Studio. Yeah, we didn't hear anything about the Mac Studio, especially since it was just updated in June. And I mean, it's not impossible that Apple would do it, but we all basically, let me see. No, Jeff actually agreed with you. I think it was very positive on anything.
Jeff agreed with everybody.
Exactly, I think so. So yeah, that didn't work. lost some point in that one. It's just, yeah, on one hand, you could say, well, why didn't they update the Mac Studio? It kind of made sense. But then I think they wouldn't have done the June update because they knew that this would happen.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Apple knows years in advance what, like, when they're going to release what processor exactly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think they would have just waited or released the M3 early and just said, well, hey, by the way, we're switching right straight to the M3. So, yeah, didn't happen. Jeff was funny. Air Force One in a costume. Not only didn't we see Air Force One in a costume, we didn't see Air Force One at all. So, no Federighi. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Jeff and Chuck, you agreed a little bit with 1 point. I agreed wholeheartedly with 5 points. I was so hoping for that. That would have been hilarious. It would have fit right into the event, and it didn't. So I was a little sad about that. Like, the only spooky element was in the beginning, and other than that, it was like, yeah, it was dark, but that was it. So could have leaned a little bit more into it. So there's that. My prediction, and the last one, was one presenter will have something Halloween in view. And I said this was correct because Tim had like some fog behind him. I was like, okay, that's good enough. It was kind of Halloween. But I said, other than the intro, that's kind of it.
Yeah, I mean, might have been CGI in post, but it counts.
Actually, it wasn't. In the making of, you can see it. They actually used actual fog. Like,
yeah, I didn't see that before it went private.
Oh, no, it's back. They officially posted it now. Like, you can watch it officially. Like, it's not private anymore. So
I'm glad that was done, because there would have been a serious discussion over the fact that we did see some bats flapping around.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. But that was not when a presenter was on stage. So no. That would have been a hair to be split, but
yeah, and I was like behind Johnny Scrooge, mm-hmm. his name, I think, yeah, Johnny Scrooge. Like in the background, I was like, is that like a Halloween background? But it was hard to see, and I wasn't sure. So I was like, eh.
Yeah. I mean, with the Halloween theme, they lit things a little bit darker than usual.
Yeah, that was about it. Yeah, and everybody was wearing black or dark colors.
I was going to say, that's not uncommon for Apple.
No. Usually they have like more colorful outfits. And, I mean, Tim, not so much, but everybody else usually. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. As I said, it could have been more. So, unfortunately for me, almost everybody, except for Dave, agreed on this one. So we all got points for it. Ungraded predictions. There were a couple. Ben said someone will be wearing a Halloween costume. Yeah, we didn't get that. We did get a new MacBook Pro color, even if color is a little bit of an overstatement. It's another shade of gray.
space grayer?
Uh-huh, space grayer, blacker. Yes. No, space grayer. I think, who was that? Who said that?
Snell.
Oh, yeah, Jason Snell. Yeah, he said that. And I said, for me, it's always like, I've said that for years. It's 50 shades of gray. Like on the Pro line, it's 50 shades of gray, unfortunately. So it's another shade of gray. It's not even black. Like people that have seen it, they've said, yeah, it's kind of gray. I think that's what Snell said, actually. So, yeah. But at least it is a new color. We didn't have it. We did not get the RGB keyboard that Ben wanted. That would have been so cool, but no, he didn't get that. We also didn't get any new CPU options on the Mac Pro. That's what I said.
Nope.
nothing on the Mac Pro. Would have been nice, but nope. But, well, Dave, you were right. We got some refreshes on the MacBook Pro.
Oh, why didn't I put that as my main one? I was going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There was no major change in the MacBook Pro other than the spec bumps. So, good. So, that brings us to the results. And I can tell you it was a really interesting grading this. I think the point difference between first and last has never been this big. Usually we're hovering around 0 points, like more or less. Like there's like someone has minus 3 and someone has plus 3 or something like that. It's not usually, I think if we go over to minus 10 or plus 10, it's already pretty big. We had a spread from minus 20 points to plus 30 points. So that should tell you something. That was actually quite surprising for me. I can tell you who's in last place. It's the person who's not here today, Jeff. So minus 20 points.
Show up.
Yeah, exactly. That's, he was like,
that's why he's not here.
Yeah, he knew. I didn't share the sheet before, but I think he knew. I'm second to last, actually, with minus 11 points. I wasn't very lucky this time around. Or oh, not very good at betting. Yeah, I thought as well I was worse. I thought I was last. So we have three people left. In third place with whopping 5 points is Chuck.
Wow.
Yeah, hey, I'm on the positive side.
You're on the positive side, as I said. Like
that's a win right there.
That's a win. Yeah, you lost 2 points in the second round, but you had 7 in the first. By the way, Jeff, first round was worse, 15 points loss, same as me. Another 5 in the second round, but gosh. I made up for. So
yeah, it's the worst ever since I've been doing this.
So we have Dave and Ben, and we have 13 points versus 30 points. Yes. So the winner of this round of Keynote Poker, and probably until the Vision Pro event, whenever that's going to happen next year, our Keynote champion, our king of Keynote Poker or something like that, is Ben with 30 points. Congrats.
Nice. Hello, job. Subjects.
Oh, that's so cool. But for the people listening, it's nice, like a Game of Thrones, like throne. In the background, something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nicely done, Ben.
Nicely done. Yeah, good job. Like, but I mean, also Dave, 13 points, quite good. Like,
After all the bad predictions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did consistently well in both rounds with like 5 points in the first and 8 in the second. Yeah. Only Ben did it better with 15 each. So.
But capitalized also, on Jeff.
Yeah, probably. Probably, yeah. But I mean, also Ben, like you had 2 correct predictions. Like as the only person at this one. So mm-hmm. overall we still weren't very good. We had, let me see, we had 4 out of 10. So not even 50% that we got correct. Mm-hmm. So it's holding strong. If you had just flipped the coin, probably would have been better. You win some, you lose some. So that is it for the Keynote Poker. Let's talk a little bit about the event. Or is there anything about the event that stuck out to you that you want to talk about? Let's turn it around. Nothing? It's all just boring by now.
No, I don't think boring, but I honestly hope that this is the start of a trend, that these little 30-minute announcements... Mm-hmm. It felt tight. I know there were some people that felt like it drug a little bit because of the technical explanations.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they're good at doing that, and I actually appreciate that because I want to know the some of those details. I may not focus on it, but it's a good to know type of thing, and I'm glad they still do that.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's marketing. It's marketing for, I mean, they're like everybody saying, oh, I know Apple can't do anything about me. Apple Silicon is now slowing down and blah, blah. And everybody else is going to catch up. Like, and then they go in and they're like, hey, by the way, we just basically did a completely like new improved version of our stuff, and it's massively better. So
yeah,
and Patrice, that's, I think that's kind of the point, that some of this is a bit of geek service, and that's okay. Mm-hmm.
Totally,
but fine. to your point, you know, it's a brand new chip, and it requires some explanation. And mm-hmm. there are those people who, you know, have said, oh yeah, they could have done this in 10 minutes, 15 minutes. It's like, yeah, maybe so.
They could have, but... sure. Say, hey, here's the M3, bye. Like, they could do 10 seconds, sure. Like, of course.
And it, I mean, it's something that I've railed against now for a while, that this idea of too long, don't read, you know, or we mm-hmm. have to have it in three sentences or less. You know, yeah, you could do it in three sentences. We have three versions of the M3 chip, and they're all incredibly fast. Faster mm-hmm. than anything we've produced. And there you go. But, you know, okay, so why? I still don't think that people really appreciate the fact that we're talking about a 3-nanometer process, when if you tear a hair out of your head and look at it, it's like mm-hmm. 100 to 120 nanometers. So, you know, we're, it's still science fiction in so many ways, and it's become so commonplace and people overlook it. So I hope we do get more of these 30-minute events, but I do hope that they allocate enough of that 30 minutes to just a few of the more technical details, so that we all can appreciate them and understand them a little better.
Yeah, exactly. Like, ultimately, that's what the event is for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said I didn't get it.
Yeah, I mean, it was iterative, but I mean, we're getting new MacBook Pros 10 months from the last one. And given that it's on a brand new process with that hasn't shown the best yields, it's going to be on the process that can maximize Apple's money. You have the iMac, which was released almost 3 years ago. So anybody with those will want to update. And then the MacBook Pros, they're important, but they're not Apple's best sellers compared to the MacBook Air, which quite frankly, probably wouldn't have been able to be fulfilled.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, then you had the Mac Studio and the Mac Pro just released in, what was it, June or August? So it's...
June.
It would not have made any sense to go with any other machine.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Good point, Ben.
All right. Sorry, I was checking something in the background. Mm-hmm. It is a massive step. I mean, yes, it's also an iterative step. Because, I mean, they can't reinvent the CPU every time. Like, that's not, I mean, honestly, it's probably never going to happen again, because they have now invented the Apple Silicon chip. And until they come up with something completely different, it's going to be iterations on that principle, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, literally the only reason anybody is getting close is because Qualcomm went and bought a bunch of ex-Apple engineers.
And yeah. If it, you know, and again, we have this discussion frequently, but it's not just about the raw chip power. It's mm-hmm. and that efficiency. Takes nothing away from it, but it's the efficiency, but it's also the fact that it is running Mac OS and probably eventually iOS or iPad OS. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's not just the engine, but it's the whole design of the car, for lack of a better analogy, you know, that you're looking at. So, you know, yeah, you want to appreciate an engine. Absolutely. You want to appreciate the overall car. That's kind of where you're going to live. That's how you're going to use it. Yeah. And that's something that I, you know, yes, I love the fact that Apple has all this horsepower, but it is in horsepower that I can actually use and accomplish things with. And that is, as far as I'm concerned, the bottom line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, I don't think there was anything else on the event. It was, as you said, it was short. It was, sorry, my vacuum just came in. It was short. It was sweet. They got it. Like, I was a little bit annoyed because I started making bread like right before the Apple event. I was like, oh yeah, I got an hour. Like, it's gonna be an hour. I got time. I can do it. And then they were done in half an hour. And it's like 1:30 a.m. And I'm like, so now I have to finish baking the bread before I can go to bed.
Yeah.
So, my problem, not Apple's.
Yeah. And I think rather than getting press releases, we're now going to have these taped micro events.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Which is great. I mean, no, they're still going to do press releases for some stuff, right? I mean, if it's like, hey, this keyboard just got like a new USB-C port, they're just going to do a press release.
But I mean, for like Macs, iPads, and iPhones.
Yeah, that's true. Macs, iPad, iPhones, like any bigger change where they, I mean, like. I think if they were just doing, hey, we already announced the M3 and we're just putting it in the Mac in a Mac studio, I don't think they would have done an extra event for that or an extra video for it. But this was the introduction of the M3. So that's right. The difference. And I mean, that's what they did, like in June, WWDC. That was tacked on the WWDC side. We're like, okay, sure, we're announcing all the software stuff and all of that, but here is the Mac Pro and the Mac Studio with the new M2 chips. We know the M2. We know what it can do. But hey, by the way, now these devices have it too. That's fine, because it's just one thing amongst others that they're introducing.
And it provided a little extra visibility for a refreshed iMac at a time that people are maybe shopping for a home computer. And so, you know, again, I mean, we all wondered about sort of the placement, the time placement and everything. Mm-hmm. In hindsight, it's looking smarter and smarter and smarter. We just couldn't see because we didn't know what was coming.
I think you're right. I mean, it's still weird from one perspective, but it totally makes sense. I mean, if Apple is doing an event and it's happening around this time of the year, and let's be honest, they had only 30 minute contact, which is fine in itself, but why not add an extra little bit of something by leaning into a theme? Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that?
And if you think about it, we were all subject happily to the manipulation.
Oh, yeah.
Not only were we speculating on the announcement, we were speculating on why the eve of Halloween?
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing is, so they got huge mileage out of it.
Oh yeah.
We earlier in the week, I think some of us questioned some of Apple's marketing choices. Again, if you spend a little time and think about it, it's like, this was brilliant in a dozen
different
ways. This
was really good. Yeah, I was super excited. I mean, yes, it was really late and I didn't get a lot of sleep that night, but I was super excited because it wasn't a standard Apple event. It was, I mean, we knew just because of the time, it's going to be something different. Even if they had done exactly the same thing as they always do, it would have been different just because it's a different time. And we got more out of it than we could have expected.
Mm-hmm.
So, makes sense. All right. Let's talk about something else, because this wasn't the only Apple thing that happened this week. There was also the earnings results that came out yesterday, if I remember correctly.
Yesterday.
Right? Yeah. It was yesterday, right? The earnings themselves, pretty much what we expected. I mean, Apple said in, what was it, August? July, August, something, when last earnings call happened, they said for this quarter, they're expecting lower than expected like revenues lower than anything. Tough compares of last year. Like they said that. They said it's gonna go down. And it exactly that's what happened. Nothing out of the ordinary. I mean, yeah, people are saying, oh, it's down year over year. It's the third, whatever, the third or fourth time it's down, all of that. Yeah. Doesn't always go up or down. So, yeah.
I'm going to point people to another resource, and that is to look up Ken Ray's macOS Ken from today, which is Friday, November 3rd. Ken did a really great job of highlighting some of the, as I believe his phrase was, tough compares, and why it's really not, why it may have looked not as good as we've all kind of come to expect. There were some very good objective reasons that had less to do with this time or this year over last year, more than last year. Last year's when the aberration occurred. This year was not an aberration. This was more consistent. Ken did a terrific job. So
really, really well. I mean, and Tim said, like, year over year we're down. We have headwinds on the currency exchange side. Other than that, they basically had September quarter records across the board everywhere. It's just not as good as last year, and like with those compares, it just didn't end up, and it's a 1% down from last year. It's not, I mean, 1% in Apple's, on Apple's side, on what was it, 89 billion. It's a lot of money, not gonna lie. I would take a quarter percent, but it's still a rounding error of Apple. Like the earnings per diluted share are up 13% compared to last year. Yeah, they also bought some shares, so that factors in. But
I'll point people also to Jason Snell. Jason, first of all, he does a great job at Six Colors, but there was one chart that he posted out on Mastodon, and that is that while it showed that there were two years, the last 2 years have been down, it's still Apple's third highest year ever. And the 2 years are the 2 years aberration that Ken was referring to in his piece. So you start getting a more balanced picture of what really was going on, instead of this constant, you know, well, we got to look at just this quarter and last quarter, and did we make headway?
It can't go on forever anyway. But Tim said, like the June 2022 quarter had supply chain issues. And because of that, they caught up in the September quarter last year. And because of that, it was just very hard. I mean, on top of everything, it was really hard to compare to that because, that's not the normal quarter.
Simple math. Yeah, in fact, those supply chain issues got so bad, they literally had to bump back the MacBook Pros from the fall to the winter.
Yes, exactly. So, and I mean, that actually influences this started quarter. We're gonna see that. But what I wanted to really talk about was there were some, like, the numbers, I mean, the usual, like, people are complaining about things and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Like, I honestly don't listen too much to that. That's it. As Chuck said, like, listen to Ken, did a good job. But there were some really good questions in the after part. And usually the questions are not super interesting, or they're trying to get Tim to say something about the future, which he won't, like future products especially. None of that this time. There were some good questions. There was one question about the like simply asking, hey, well, like over the last 8 years, like your capital investments have been about like this. Do you expect this is going to go up or down next year? Like what you know, and like not talking about products, just in general, like are you going to spend more or less? and Tim gave a really perfect non-answer, because he said, well, we've invested what we needed in the past, and we're going to invest what we need in the next year. It's like, That was a good one. I really like that. It's paraphrasing. Like you phrased it differently, but I really like that. It's like, yeah, we've been doing well in the past. We're going to keep doing that. And that's what you want, right?
Yeah. And I think that's what has made Apple better than other Fortune 500 companies. They keep their eye on the business mm-hmm. and let the investors take care of themselves.
Yeah, rather in the long-term business.
Yeah, rather than pandering to what the investors would want each freaking quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, they said, like, they're investing in factories, for example, sometimes in a shared agreement with partners and stuff like that. So it's very clear. Like, the store is an investment in a capital expenditure for sure, and they keep investing in that, and they're going to keep opening more stores. They said that. Like, but none of that is any surprise to anybody.
And Ben, amend your comment. Not just pandering to the investors, pandering to the analysts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely true. There was one more really interesting. Tim was asked about the Vision Pro and how it compares to other products they've released recently, like the Apple Watch, like the AirPods Pro, stuff like that. And I didn't expect, I don't think anybody expected any answer about something that Apple hasn't released yet. Hasn't even released any details on like, how they're going to sell. Mm-hmm. But Tim actually said, and I actually wrote down what he said. He said, there's never been a product like the Vision Pro. And so we're purposely bringing out the product in our stores only, so we can really put a great deal of attention on the last mile of it. We'll be offering demos in stores, and it will be a very different process than the normal grab-and-go kind of process. Mm-hmm. Or grab-and-go kind of sale, I think he said. Well, so that is really interesting.
I mean, especially since there's a certain bespoke aspect to the product.
Sure. And it's an expensive product as well, like, and some customization we knew was needed, but there have been questions from people, and I think even Apple was asked a couple of times by people, even during the like the demos they did for press, like, how are you going to sell that? And so far Apple hadn't said anything about this. I mean, it was clear there would be something in stores. I think that's not a surprise, but that they very clearly said, well, it's going to be different, and yeah, it's going to be store only. So it's not going to, you won't be able to order it online at all. Or at least not, maybe you can pre-order online. I would assume that's possible, but you still have to go to a store and go customize and pick it up.
Yeah. This kind of reminds me of the first days of the Series Zero Apple Watch.
No, you could actually, there was a trial, like a try on program in store. You could go there before, mm-hmm. but, it actually, you could actually order it online from day one.
But that's, Ben, it's an interesting point, because a watch is something you understand. Mm-hmm. Right now, a what call the Vision Pro, whatever you want, a headset or AR device.
Spatial computing.
Yeah, pick your phrase. You know, the bottom line is that there is a very, 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 very small subset of people who've ever strapped one of those things on their head for anything more than a couple minutes at most. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a completely new experience. And I mean, I kind of love the idea, because I also think that from a business perspective, Apple is guaranteeing that it's going to cut down on the number of returns it's going to see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And, you know, it's, and you know, there are going to be people that are going to scream. It's like, well, I don't have access to an Apple store. Okay. Then, you know, maybe it becomes an event trip that you have to make to go and try it, as opposed to just getting it, plugging it in, saying, I don't understand. And then trying to return it.
And to be fair, the people buying this are not the average consumer. I mean, one who can the average consumer who can afford a $3,500 accessory. Well, it's a computer on your face, but for a lot of people, it looks like an accessory.
Yeah.
Like, who can afford that?
Yeah, and if you can, making a trip to an Apple store is not a big deal.
I mean, it might be for some people, and I wouldn't generalize here. Like for some people, if they're like, I think Ben, you're living far away from an Apple store, so for you, it probably is a deal still. Well, still some distance. Mm-hmm. It's still a journey. It still takes time, so it is some kind of deal for you. But as I said, the number of the people who will buy this, I think, yeah, it's okay. I think they will survive that. They're probably anyway the enthusiasts that would go 5 hours or cross the world if needed.
Well, and Patrice, you make a great point. You know that automatically by the pricing, you're qualifying the users. Mm-hmm. Now, if you bring users in, because they have to have the money, B, they have to have the interest. And so now you're going to go in, you're going to check it out, you're going to try it, you're going to say, hey, I really think this is going to be value for the money, mm-hmm. or I'm not quite sure yet, but it's going to increase the qualification process for mm-hmm. those who ultimately purchase it. So
yeah.
I know there are going to be people that scream, and that's fine.
Always
let them scream.
Yeah. Because yeah. And if it's only for the reasons that there's something to scream about.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Have you watched the news?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, and they're usually also the people that scream because they can't have a $6,000 Mac Pro.
Or $7,000 MacBook Pro now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Was it $7,800, something like that?
Well it depends. It's 6,800 for the 14-inch, more for the 17.
Mm-hmm. 16, you mean?
Well, there are people that are screaming about, you know, the new M3 MacBooks. In fact, all the new M3 computers. Oh, they can only handle one display, one external mm-hmm. display. And it's like, okay, you know, then if you really need more than one display, then it's time to go look for an upgraded model, an upscale model.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, so this constant thing of every computer has to support all the features that I want. Mm-hmm. And if they
at
don't,
the price that I want.
At the price that I want. And then I'm going to mm-hmm. bag on it. And it's like, no, mm-hmm. no, no. It's no, it again, the car analogy is the one we keep falling back on. If you need just a car to go from here to the grocery store in the office, mm-hmm. there are plenty of options. But if you want to do it at 120 miles an hour, you're going to have to go upscale.
Well, even then, that might be a problem. But different story. Depending on where your grocery store is and where you live, maybe.
He's got the high V.
Yes, I do.
Ben
has
people
smile in every aisle.
Ben has paid people to do that for him. He's got exactly. the crown, man. He doesn't yeah. go to the grocery store. He just says, "Hey, slave, bring it over here."
Ooh, okay. There is one last thing that I wrote down that Apple addressed, or Tim addressed. There was a question about AI and machine learning, and like what Apple is gonna do. You know, the question that we've heard for a while, like, oh, Apple is behind on AI, blah blah blah, because they're not doing WWDC. Not every second word was AI. Kind of that kind of thinking. But there was a question about it, and Tim said, and I said, I wrote it down again, like word for word, what he said. He said, we view AI / machine learning as fundamental technologies, and they're integral technologies to every product that we ship. And then he further said, we don't label them as such, we label them as what the consumer benefit is. So we're not saying, hey, this is AI, this is GPT, this is blah, blah, blah. They're saying, well, we can do a crash detection or stuff like that, like what the consumer benefit is. And he said a little bit later, you can bet we're investing quite a bit. We're going to do it responsibly, and you will see product and advancements over time where those technologies are at the heart of them. And I think that is a really good statement in itself, to say, hey, we're doing it responsibly. We're not screaming about the technology, what it is. We're saying, well, this is what you can do with it. And I think most people, yeah, there's this hype about GPT and ChatGPT and blah, and AI is going to take over the world and kill us all and take our jobs and all of that, apparently. But Apple is very deliberate in saying, we've been doing this for so long, and we're going to continue doing it. And we're going to bring benefits to people, which is what people really care about. So might we see something GPT-based for Apple? Yeah, it's possible. But they're not probably not going to mention it. They're just going to say, well, this can now do that.
I know that people are going to hate this, but we have already had some of that available to us now for years in Siri.
Yeah.
Now, we can debate how good or bad it is or how accurate it is. But, you know, Apple was one of the first to deliver that in some fashion. And we could go off on a whole other tangent about the security of that versus some of the others. Bottom line is, though, it's there. And if you don't think that somebody somewhere inside Apple is working on this diligently, come on.
Yeah.
You're fooling yourself.
Exactly. I mean, I've had discussions with people from Apple, like at DubDub, about machine learning on audio files and stuff like that, which was at that point a research project. It wasn't a thing that was really widely used. And they were saying, yeah, like you probably need about 80 people to do that, like 80 employees on the research side to just research that topic because, well, it's new. So sure, Apple is quite heavily investing in it because they can and because I think they see the benefits. They see the benefits because they've been seeing the benefits in their products that they've already shipped. I mean, I remember years ago when Apple started talking about machine learning and offering tools for developers to do machine learning on device. And that was a long time ago. Like, this is nothing new. As I said, it's a hype currently. You see it everywhere. It's probably going to go away again. Something else going to replace it. But Apple is going to keep going on. And I don't think Apple will change their approach there. They're going to talk about the benefits. And yeah, they're going to mention here and there and say, well, this is the benefit. And hey, by the way, in the background, this is machine learning. This is large language model. This is that. They might mention that. They have done that in the past, but they're not going to put the technology first.
And the other thing to remember here is that Apple prototypes internally, not externally, like a lot of these other companies.
Yeah, like Google. Do a prototype, ship it to customers, and then kill it.
Kill it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, I'm convinced there will be a completely overhauled Siri in the next couple versions of the operating systems. But they just don't have it ready.
Yeah, I think the lack of progress on the Siri side kind of shows you that they're probably working on some. I mean, either they've stopped, which I don't think happened, but it's possible. It is a possibility, but more likely is they've been working on a completely new system and it's just not ready. And at some point, they're going to say, well, now we can turn it on.
Yeah.
Then you get it.
And I think when they do, it's going to be a huge deal.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's a huge deal, and for some people not, because it's still not enough. But that's a separate story.
But I mean, it takes a lot to realize that what you currently have has reached kind of an impasse. And to stop iterating that just to go to the next thing.
Yeah. You know what's not at an impasse?
TSO Host.
Correct. So TSO Host is our sponsor for today's show. They're really, really, really good company. They offer all the web hosting that we use at BTN. We have two servers from them. Have had them for years. Rock solid. Like all the live stream, the website, like everything that you see and hear from BTN like comes from those two servers. And that we've never had any issues. All the issues were kind of homemade because I messed something up and broke something and had to fix it. It's never been like TSO Host issue. I never had a downtime from them. So yeah, it's just been a really good company and really nice people. Like we've interacted with them here and there and they're like super nice. I've seen on social media over the years interactions with customers like or with BTN listeners, and they were really, really helpful and really good and quick to respond and all of that. So they've it's just a pretty good company. They offer servers, they offer domain names if you need that. They offer hosting packages for WordPress, for example. They have a really good portfolio, everything you would need to run your own service, your own company, whatever it is, they can offer that. And in order, like, 4-day support with BTN, all they really ask for is a little bit of brand recognition, because there's others on the market out there. They're not as good, maybe, but you have to know about them. And so all you have to do, if you're listening to BTN, head over to your social media of choice and mention TSO Host and say, thank you, TSO Host, for supporting British Tech Network. It's all they ask for. That's it. Nothing more. And if you need, like, on top of all of that, if you need one of their amazing offerings, all of them, you can also get 20% off, because they have also, like, not that we asked them for it, they just offered that and said, hey, like, here's an offer code, BTN20, you get 20% off. So yeah, just use that code and then thank them, because that's yeah, they're just a really good company. So I can't repeat that often enough. And now we're going to surprise Dave to tell us about the chat and where you can find the awesome chat room.
You really want to do that with me?
Yes.
Between my coughing.
Yes. Well, Ben did it yesterday and Chuck did it, I think, a couple of weeks ago. So it's your turn now.
Oh my gosh.
And of course I didn't warn you, because I wanted to surprise you.
Well, let's see what I can do here. To go to the chat room, go to the BritishTechNetwork.com/chat. Am I right with that? I'm close.
You're close. Chat.BritishTechNetwork.com.
That's where you can find all the links of the things that we talk about in the show, as well as if you aren't live right now, you're able to go back and take a look at the old chat, because obviously we're not here when you're listening to it recorded, and you can go there and be able to find that as well. I don't know what else I missed.
Well, there's a chat transcript for
the chat transcript as well, right? You can go back and read everything, including all the links that Patrice is now putting all of her links in, as well as I've threw a couple in myself here. And
that you can find. That you can find on BritishTechNetwork.com/chat.
Chat, yeah, okay.
See, that one you had to
correct. I was and close.
You were close, yeah. But you also need to know when you go to that website what today's recording date is, because that's how you can find the transcript.
And then the recording date would be November 3rd. Is it November 3rd?
Yes, it is.
November 3rd.
Yeah, that's how it works. So thank you, Dave. You managed to do it.
I did my best.
You did your best. No, it's fine. You got all the most important information across. Okay. So all good. I just didn't want to do it today because I'm talking all the time. So
Ben has the day burned into his mind because it's his coronation day.
That's yeah, it's true. Subjects.
Yes.
And it's so a week away from my birthday. I should have known better.
Well, you should have.
Yeah. But it crossed months, Dave. So, you know, yeah. You're getting a little older. That's all right.
That's true. So I think it's time for the cool things. Who has the first cool thing for us? See, who has the fastest fingers and could put it in our chat? Our awesome chat. Chat.BritishTechNetwork.com if you want to go there. Let's see. Oh, still waiting.
All right.
Also slow. Chuck is first.
I got it. I don't think this has been picked before. I think it's been mentioned on one of the shows. I'm not sure which. But if you were a Babylon 5 fan, you really need to check out the new Babylon 5 animated movie, The Road Home. This is so well done. It is so well done. They picked up as many of the original cast as they could to do the voices. Unfortunately, the reality is that some of the cast has already passed. But the folks
many of them.
Yeah, but that said, the people who they brought in really did their best to adopt the mannerisms and sound like it. So it's easy for you to say, gee, I think maybe, is that right? But the story is decent. It's not just, it did not feel like one of those things that they tossed out just to capitalize on the name. And I have to say, you know, I'm not a huge animation watcher, but I really, really thought this was so well done. So the link I threw in the chat is for the trailer on YouTube. It's getting, I want to make sure I get this right. But it's showing right now at 83% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Nice.
Which I really seldom pay any attention to Rotten Tomatoes, but I was kind of intrigued to see how this rated. So you can rent or you can rent it or buy it on, I think, Vudu, Apple TV, Roku,
Amazon, probably, like everywhere.
Yeah, I don't know. That's you're right. Prime, excuse me. Vudu, Amazon Prime, and Apple TV are the ones listed on Rotten Tomatoes. But yeah, if you aren't a B5 fan or don't have that background, I think you would enjoy it, but you would miss just how well done this was for the characters.
So it's a go check if it you're out. If you're a fan of Babylon 5, it's a love letter to you, basically. That's what it is. It's a really good story. It's a story I don't know, because I'm a big fan, so for me it's hard to say, but I think a lot of people would still enjoy it.
Yeah. Even if and so they don't. Just I mean, and I'm not going to do any spoilers here, I promise, but just things like Zathras, the way that, you know, they wrote him into this was just so Zathras. It was
exactly.
Great. So,
you know, AKA the best character of all time.
Yeah.
Well, definitely.
I agree.
definitely a character. No question about that.
Yes.
So
it is like it fits really well in the timeline. It goes back a little bit, like in the like it's somewhere in between basically the end and of Babylon 5 and somewhere between or before, like after the war. So it fits really well into that storyline, and as I said, it's just so well done. And it's, I mean, yes, unfortunately it's animated. I'm with you. I'm not a big fan of that, but this was, I didn't mind it. It was good.
Yeah, I mean, well, to be perfectly honest, animated now was the only way they could do it.
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, there's maybe AI these days. You could probably do that now, but that would have caused other issues. So.
Yeah, let's not go there. Oh my god.
Yeah, that would have cost more than Zaslav would be willing to pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was. I mean, it was really. It was made by the people who love Babylon 5, and it shows. Like they made it, they loved it. It's their show. They want to keep going. I think they want to do a live action version somehow, like a new show. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not known about it, but they want to do it. And I think this was their way to advertise for it also and say, hey, just there is a fandom out there, and people would enjoy that.
Yeah, I mean, they would have to recast if they were going to just do a reboot. They'd have to recast everyone. And some of the characters are so iconic that it would be hard to do. Nobody can replace
Peter Jurassic as Mondo.
Yes, I'd almost rather.
And ironically, he's one of the few still alive.
Exactly. Yes.
I'd almost rather see him do a Star Trek: The Next Generation thing and say, you know, be Babylon 5: The Next Generation
and Babylon 6.
Continue with the universe, in universe, but you know, in a completely different way.
Yeah. Do a Star Trek. There's a rich universe out there with a lot of characters, a lot of races, a lot of stories that you can tell. And I said, from what I've understood, that's what they wanted to do. But so far, not a lot of support.
So go check it out. I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, but definitely will. Ben, I think you're next on the list.
Okay, I'm doing a show that just had its fourth season finale, and that is Star Trek Lower Decks.
Mm-hmm. Good one.
And if you're looking for a show that really ties into the 24th century Star Trek, really gets TNG, well, that would be this show, because it literally ties back to one of my favorite episodes of TNG.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a kids show because it's animated, that's Prodigy, which honestly is not a kids show either, but that's more geared to kids. This is honestly who for the like the Star Trek fans that grow up watching Futurama.
Yeah. So while the movie that we just talked about was a love letter to Babylon 5, this show I think is a love letter to Star Trek and to Star Trek fans.
Yeah, especially TNG.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really liked it. So
yeah,
it's really good.
But they'll have little references to other things. Like there's a lot of calls back to the animated series.
Mm-hmm.
Because well, there's certain alien races you could only do in animation.
Yes.
It'd be way too expensive. But it's just it's plain good Star Trek with good writing, great characters.
Yeah, there's literally characters, I think. I mean, it would be doable, but it would be really hard to do. Like, I mean, there's a bird character, like a doctor who's a bird. And then, like, you can do that animated quite easily. It's really hard to do that in live action.
Yeah.
And you just brought up something that I've never heard before. And it really does suddenly make a lot more sense to me. And that is that this is a Star Trek for the kids that grew up watching a particular style of animation.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
and
true.
So as a result, you know, I sometimes have trouble getting into it, frankly, as much as I've gotten into Prodigy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that, but
yeah,
it's
kind
just
of the Simpsons version, right? Of animation.
Yeah.
It's kind of
yeah.
that style. Kind of.
Yeah. And so and sort of the sensibility too, not just the style of animation, sensibility. I've never heard anybody say that. And now all of a sudden I
makes
can look
sense.
At Lower Decks as a different kind of entity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
And they have here and there like guest characters from the other shows. Like in the last episode, I'm not gonna spoil too anything, but Will Wheaton was there, for example, for a good reason. Like, he wasn't just there to as a filler. It was a really good reason he was in there.
Yeah, yeah. As I said, it literally had something very much to do with TNG.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It made
but
sense.
So the actual characters do, if they're still live, do show up.
Yeah. In fact, if there were three characters that appeared in TNG in this episode.
Yes, correct. Yeah, but it's
not one that was talked about and never appeared.
I have
that's
not
also
seen it
true.
Yet,
yes.
So,
yeah. No, I said I'm not going to spoil anything. Like, it's just saying.
But,
like, and this goes
vague,
across
like,
this goes across the entire like series. Like, this is not a one-off thing where all of a sudden in the series finale and sorry season finale they're doing that. No, it's like it happens constantly. There's a ton of references everywhere. Like, if you look at it, it's the crew of Lower Decks is like they're the biggest fans of TNG basically.
Yeah,
it's really really funny. Like, you can so I mean if you're a fan, you can so relate to them. They're geeking out about everything.
Yeah,
and then
and
they get to
kinda
experience some of it. So that's even funnier.
And it's also kind of great seeing Star Trek from a new perspective.
Mm-hmm.
We're used to seeing the Enterprise, the best of the best.
Yeah,
going
or the
on
bridge
the most
crew or something like that. Where it's like the main
going
people.
On the dangerous missions.
Yeah.
The Cerritos is like the ship that you barely, that even Starfleet barely remembers is even there.
Yeah, you send in after to clean up and take care of the annoying stuff, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that makes it in, and that in itself is super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what happens after first contact? Like, who, like, the flagship goes away. Who takes care of the rest?
Yeah,
like there's tons of work to do now. Like, who does that?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a really good show. Yeah, good one, Ben. Dave, you have a really cool product. It's not a TV show, or a
I
movie.
Do. I actually recommended this in the past because I did get the frame. This is a Grid Studio, the Grid Frame. They have some absolutely amazing things that they've done. A lot of Apple stuff, especially. I've got the iPhone 4S, more reasonably priced item. But you know what? I think it's cool. I still haven't got it hung up on a wall. I need to get that thing hung up. It's been sitting flat for a while. But they recently came up, and this was I knew this was going to be limited quantity. Is the one they put together one for the the iPod first generation. There's like a classic revival project. There's a limited edition. I don't know if they're going to have any more left, but they're going to make, but because it's hard to find these iPods, honestly. But these guys are just amazing when it comes to the details they do, and the backing papers got the little blurbs about everything there is. In this case, it broke down the iPod with the system board and the spin touchpad and it's all broken down. I think it's just so cool. I mean, they've got pretty much every iPhone from since the beginning. I mean, you can pick up an iPhone the first generation, as well as they do a lot of game controllers and with Xbox and Sega so it's really great. Check this out. It's not the faint of heart as far as price goes. So.
Oh, I was muted. Yes, you might have cost me some money. This is so cool.
Yeah, this is awesome. It isn't. If you want the iPod one, like right now, it's showing not available. Unfortunately, I was wondering. I thought my AirPods went on. You were talking.
Mm-hmm.
So you go through some of these. Yeah, they put together a bunch of them here, but right now it's sold out, so you can put a notification on it. But they also have some of the other iPods. I think there was the iPod Classic and others. Yeah. If you really want,
they have like those. Also Game Boy Color, for example, the Nintendo 3DS, Game There's Boy so Pocket. They have cool ones.
Lot these guys are really great. Expanded since the last time I looked here.
Apple Watch you can also get.
Yeah, they got the first gen
Series 0 one. Apple Watch.
Series 0, right? The Apple Watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, later rebranded as Series 0, yeah.
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 A little pricey, but it's a cool little layout they did with that one too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean it comes disassembled. Sure, you could do that yourself. Buy one used and do all of the work and put it in a nice frame and all of and print and all of it. Yes, you could just buy it. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, and it's not that expensive.
You've got one too, John, don't you?
Yeah, I've got one too. And it is just, I think it makes you appreciate the technology, whether you have a current, whether you get one that is a current model or an older model. That just, you know, how, I don't know about you, but you tend to think of these things maybe as a little more densely packed and with things. And it's just incredible what the function of these devices is with just a few parts that are in there. And you appreciate therefore then to hark back to an earlier discussion, you appreciate the fact that we're now at a 3-nanometer process. You think about what these processes were not measured in nanometers.
No.
So
you had a thousand songs in your pocket. That was incredible back in 2001.
Yeah. You have another 12. Yeah.
They have another cool thing I just found. They have enamel pins, and you can buy a grid in like a frame, or you can just buy individual ones. So if you want an Apple One pin, or like an Apple Lisa pin, for example, you can buy them, and they're not expensive, like not that much. You can get even a buy three get two for free.
They even put together. I enjoy that because you always everybody sees behind me. I have the evolution of iPhone that someone put together. But they have a grid one here for the Apple Badge collection for each of the devices from many years, including the Macs. And yeah, there's Apple II and Apple One on there too.
Yeah, that's so cool.
It's a nice framed thing you could do.
Well, yeah, that's sad. You might have cost me some money.
That's fine. Might have.
I think you did. I haven't ordered it. So.
Hey, we didn't even have the first gen iPad mini. That's kind of cool too.
Mm-hmm. So my cool thing is also a movie that I wanted to pick. I'm a big fan of Anthony Bourdain. And you know, he died, was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago? Yeah. Something like that. A couple years ago. So we didn't get to enjoy more of his content. He's done a lot, like over the years. He's written a bunch of books and audiobooks and for sure all the TV shows that he did that I rewatched recently. But this is a movie basically made by his friends. And it doesn't end well. And they say that straight up. They're like, this movie does not end well. It's not a happy-go-lucky, everything is perfect, hey, look how awesome his life was kind of movie. And they address what to some extent what happened. They don't talk about it too much detail. It's not sensationalized. Oh, what happened? Like all of that. There's a point where I think Eric Ripperz just said, "I'm not talking about this," and that's fine. But it's still really good and emotional video and movie, and it's a really interesting view at his life and the demons and like everything that he did and everything that he enjoyed and the friendships he had and the fun he had with his friends and his family and his wife's multiple and girlfriend and so on, and also how it was a constant like line of struggle through it. So it's a really good movie. You can watch it in the US on Max, the new now rebranded Max. You can buy it for actually not that much. It's like $4.99, for example, currently on Apple TV Plus. That's how I bought it. And Apple TV Plus on Apple TV or Apple Store, whatever. Also on Amazon. So yeah, it's just a really good movie. Actually 7.7 on IMDb. I think Rotten Tomatoes is 80%. It's just a good movie. If you really enjoyed his work and everything he did, it's a good movie. So it's not too long. Like it's 2 hours ish, but it feels shorter. So highly recommend that. It's called Roadrunner. Yeah, a film about Anthony Bourdain from 2021. So I think it probably died 2019 or something like that. So that's my cool thing.
I like it.
So
cool.
With that is the end of this episode. I think next week we'll be back with with our normal interim host. Not the interim host, that is me.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll have an interim host.
That is possible, yes. But it would require that we've set up a hierarchy first. Like, who's the interim? So, yes.
You're right, that'd take effort.
Yeah, no, forget it. So, King Ben, since you're our king, you get to go first and tell the good people where they can find out more about you.
Absolutely. Well, peasants can find me on social media at Ben Raythig. My royal site, raythig.tech. On Tuesday nights, I grace Chuck Joyner with my presence on Mac Voices. On Thursday nights, I also give my royal presence to Dave Ginsburg on In Touch with iOS. And of course, always Thursday and Friday here on the Big Tech Network.
On British the Tech Network.
You know what I mean.
It's the not British the Big Tech Network.
Silence, peasant. on the British Tech Network, on the Big and Mac shows.
Yeah, I know I'm going to get beheaded now, so I'm sorry. Dave, where can people find out more about you?
You could find me at In Touch with iOS, intouchwithios.com. We may have a plan for a birthday show for my birthday next Friday, and everybody on this panel will be joining me, so I think that's going to be fun. You can find the show on YouTube at youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on Mastodon at DaveG65 at mastodon.cloud. I'm on Mac Voices Live every Tuesday night and here on Fridays. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you for being here. And there's going to be 2 birthday podcasts next week then.
Yes, there will be.
So that's going to be awesome.
And my show too.
That's going to be awesome. And also a lot of fun. Thank you for being here, Chuck. Where can people find out more about you?
Well, you can find more out about me at macvoices.com. That's where, as was alluded to earlier, we do a live show Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are, at youtube.com/macvoices TV. The rest of the time, macvoices.com will host everything. And on the socials, I'm at Chuck Joyner. As far as, Ben, I always feel graced when you show up on my show. And Dave, as far as your birthday show, what does it pay?
Not much.
Okay.
Free beer next time you're in Chicago.
Free beer. I'll buy you a beer next time I see you in person.
Yeah, Chuck gets a 25 extra percent fee for that episode.
Yeah. Okay.
You mean that I have to pay to be on? That's I said. Okay. I got. That's how Dave's funding his birthday. I understand.
Yeah.
Hey, Patrice, thanks for hosting today in Jeff's absence. You did a great job.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you.
And Patrice, now your sovereign demands that you tell us where we can find you.
Well, I can't reject that. I have to do it. So you can find out more about me on this. Well, you can find out more about me on my website, thepatrice.com, all the podcasts, projects, everything I'm doing literally. You can also find me here on the British Tech Network every week on Thursday on the Big Show, where we talk about non-Apple things like chips and, I don't know, gaming, space, cars, anything that's technology that's not Apple. And also Fridays, of course, here on the Mac Show every week. And if you want to listen to me talk about food, since I just said I'm a big foodie and I like food stuff, I have an interview show called Foodie Flashback on foodieflashback.com, where I interview really interesting people about food and food-related stories and memories. So with that, thank you so much for listening. You can find us, by the way, also on Mastodon as British Tech Network at British Tech at techhangout.social. That's our handle. And you can, of course, find everything on bridgetechnetwork.com. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to TSO Host once again for sponsoring and supporting us for this long time. It's been really, really good. And I hope we keep going that way. And yeah, thanks. Thanks, Stephen, for still letting us do this. Thanks, Jeff, for everything. Even though you're not here today, we miss you. And thanks, Motorbiker, for being in the chat room today and just being in the background and supporting us when we need help. So thanks, everybody. See you next week. Bye-bye.